Good afternoon, Australia. Well, that's better than cheerful. So first, thank you very much for attending this session. I know I'm competing with a lot of great content. You're probably also getting tired with lots of great content this week. So again, thanks for making it to this time slot. During the next 75 minutes, I'll be giving you an update on Office 365 groups, both what it is, what's new, and what's coming. Brief introduction. My name is Christoph Eisinger. I'm a program manager on the Office 365 Groups team. I've been at Microsoft 15 years, and I started in consulting back in Europe, and then I did a couple of marketing stints with Project Server and Yammer and Office 365 Groups, and past 6 months I'm part again of the Office 365 engineering team. Our team does two things with respect to groups. We both manage groups, the service, and you'll see me talk a lot about that. You know, pretty much anything that has to do with collaboration in the Office 365 world is integrating with groups. So that's the first thing that's on our charter. And the second thing our team manages specifically is to continue to make email collaboration great, and that's Groups in Outlook. I put my Twitter handle there if you got questions. We'll see. I do have quite a bit of content, and I want to go through some demos, but hopefully we'll have time for Q&A. If not, hit me up on Twitter, or I'll be at the expo hall tomorrow, and hopefully I can answer any questions you get with respect to groups. So let's get started. This picture is meant to stress how the world of collaboration has changed. You know, I'm not an expert on the Australian market, but at least what I'm seeing from Seattle, talking to customers, and traveling a little bit, is collaboration is changing. And I think, that's universal. It doesn't matter if you're IT for a uni, if you're a large bank, if you're in the mining industry or real estate, large and small. You know, if you've been in an interview loop and you're bring new hires in your company, and, one thing I always do to trick candidates, don't tell them that. I guess too late, it's being recorded. But as that new generation, what they use to work on an assignment, to work on a class, and the answer is typically very different than when Christoph was young and going to uni to get his degree and collaborate on a project. And so things have changed quite a bit. You know, I always say, I do have three kids, and my oldest is 15. And again, the way he gets work done in his high school back in Seattle is just, I didn't have access to those tools, again, when I was growing up. So things have changed, and I think that applies also to Australia. So here's the agenda for the next 75 minutes. First, I'll cover what is Office 365 Groups, but more importantly, why are we here? Why did us, Microsoft, why have we been cooking this in the Redmond kitchen, and, why groups? So that's the first part of the presentation. Now, I'll give you a couple demos as part of that first section. And then I'll talk about, because you guys are Ignite, I'm guessing a lot of you are IT, obviously maybe we had developers as well, but the top of mind from you guys coming to this conference is how do I manage it? How do I stay on top of things? Whether I've got regulatory requirements for my security team or just by nature of the industry I'm in, how do I make sure that I abide by the rules, I don't get fired, and my business stakeholders continue to be happy with the services I give them to get work done? And then the last section will be pretty much like, once you've seen the value for end users, how to administer it, then the next question is, how do I get started? And that's the last section, which will be very straightforward. So going on with the first section, by the way, we'll probably spend most of the time in the first two section. So let's talk about groups. Again, I'll give you a high overview. I know I had some colleagues, especially this morning, there was Alistair that had a session at 8:15, Doug's had one at 9, but the whole point, again, is why we've invested in collaboration in the enterprise space. And this is just some of the statistics. I think typically what I stress is what I was alluding to with a picture, which is on the right-hand side, but in the workforce today, there's a lot of diversity, not just diversity of ethnicity, but diversity of generation. I don't know the stats in the for Australia, but in the United States, 50% of the labor by 2020 will be millennials. And again, think about what I was saying, if you've done a recent interview with a uni graduate, that's a new generation entering your workforce, and again, different expectations. And when I started in the workforce way back then, or just yesterday, you know, to make decision, I used to work for a large engineering firm, it was the one-page memo. That's how we made decision. Christoph will draft the memo, here's what we need, blah, 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 and then add the name of all the people that needed to approve it, and then I would go religiously get it signed, and if by, for whatever reason, I didn't do my homework, and someone said, no, Christoph, go back to the drawing board, I had to go back, rewrite the memo, and then go for approval. And until that memo wasn't approved, then Christoph could not get going with the project. So obviously, that the generation coming in, a little different. The other thing on the diversity that I'm sure applies here in this beautiful country is employees these days are expecting their employer to give them flexibility on where we work, right? I shouldn't have to go in the office in 2017 every day. If I want to take care of my kids or I've got an emergency, I just want to work from home because it's less stressful. This day and age, with the tool we give you, hopefully you can work from home. You can do conference call and you can edit your sales proposal and whatever you need to do as part of your role. So that's just some examples that are, again, changing how we collaborate in the enterprise. To go a little deeper, within that notion of collaboration, there's different needs in your organization. And again, just think you guys in IT, even within IT, I'm sure if I pick any of you in the audience, you've got different ways of working. You know, if I'm in ops, in operation in IT, I'm real time. I got to go fast. You know, when a server is down, my IT lead is not going to be very patient. On the opposite, maybe if I'm managing the ERP, the large accounting, maybe I can deal with a little bit of asynchronicity. Or if I'm the help desk for IT, again, different groups have different needs just within that org alone. And you expand that to sales, marketing, corporate comm, executives, and obviously you get many different needs in the enterprise. The other part of that slide that I stress, okay, things have evolved, different groups have different needs to collaborate, is this notion of shadow IT. I'm going to mention it, and I'll repeat it afterward, but I've already talked to some of you on the expo hall or just side meetings, and shadow IT is a reality. Whether you want to admit it or whether you're on top of the thing, it doesn't matter. Again, if Christoph out of uni, you say, Christoph, here's, you know, you're a new project manager in whatever, in engineering. You get to deliver this by Friday, right? We're Wednesday. You get to deliver by Friday. You have 3 days. And if you tell Christoph, oh, Christoph, it's going to take you 6 months to get a distribution list, another 3 months to get a SharePoint team sites, and by the way, you won't be able to collaborate outside the firewall, you know what Christoph is going to do, right? Christoph is going to pick his phone, he's going to create a WhatsApp group, a Facebook Messenger, a blah, 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 and he's going to go do, get work done because he doesn't have the time to wait for X to get a share space to get whatever the project he needs to take to the finish line. So hopefully that resonates. And all of this, obviously, is, I'm sure, keeping you, some of you, awake at night, and that's probably also why you're part of Ignite. You know, how do I stay on top of that? Because, again, ideally, if you provide the tool that users need, hopefully you can reduce shadow IT to a minimum. And that leads us into we Microsoft. What are we doing to address this diversity that I was mentioning about that I was mentioning earlier on those different needs in the enterprise space? And think of, again, we've got different tools for different needs. If you look on the far far left, then the new kid on the block is Microsoft Teams. You know, this is something Satya Nadella, our CEO, unveiled back in November that we're going to be launching this quarter, so very soon, since we're already mid-February. And think of that, you know, that the sweet spot for that tool is that high-velocity team. So, if I pick you guys as an audience, think of DevOps or developers, you know, that rapid-fire back-and-forth collaboration that is needed in that space. If I go through the spectrum, obviously, email, we still believe in email, and we've innovated on that front. So email and calendar is here to stay. Typically, an example is executives. Executives are not in front of their PC or Mac or whatever every day. Hopefully, they're meeting different stakeholders in the company, meeting shareholders, da-da-da-da-da. And so they got to get caught up, but typically, executive, the standard for them to work as a leadership team, typically, it's email, because they get the formality, it's asynchronous, and voila. And then obviously you go to the spectrum, like Skype. Obviously I'm a big fan of Skype. I use it all the time because sometimes I tend to be impatient and I see if my colleague is green, then it's like, okay, let's have a quick call and settle whatever the argument is, you know, that near real-time voice and video. And then obviously documents, you know, that's Office Pro Plus, to speak in licensing term, but think of Office stream to favorite desktop, to whatever you need to do Office for. Sites on content management, obviously all the content, again, I'm talking about group collaboration, and all that content is in SharePoint, right? I'm not talking about OneDrive. OneDrive is just my document at Contoso. In the case of a team or a group, it's a shared space. So that's what site on content management is. And then last, Kate on the Block is a, you know, it's great to be back here because I delivered that session a couple years ago at a couple of Ignites. But to reach out across the enterprise, our solution is Yammer. If you think of a community of interest, community of practice, maybe a leadership team wants to spread some news, that's a sweet spot for Yammer. A great use case that I always say, at Microsoft, we use Yammer to get feedback on Microsoft Teams. Why? Because there's about 100,000 employees at Microsoft, and then you get twice that number in vendors. And a lot of the time, people might ask a question, hey, is this app localized on my iPhone for Teams, or when are we going to launch? Is this going to support education? Blah, blah, blah. A lot of the time, the Q&A, that kind of back and forth, is not necessarily answered by the engineering expert that work at Microsoft Teams, but some of my peers across the globe. So it's got that self-service. Everyone can see what's going on. So we're using Yammer to manage the Microsoft Teams launch on Educator Field at Scale on the latest and greatest. Now, all those apps that caters to those different needs in the enterprise for group collab are sitting on Office 365 groups. So think of that magic ingredient where all those apps are connected. And another way to think about it, Office 365 groups, for all the techie out there, it's nothing more than an object in Azure Active Directory. It's got a set of properties, but there's one master, obviously, in the cloud. Our master for identity is Azure, and that's what Office 365 groups are. So, you know, it gives you a central place to view who's creating groups, central place to potentially delete a group, central place to change who's the owner of the group because maybe someone left the company, et cetera, et cetera. And then, obviously, it's all secure and compliant. You know, think of that that argument when you think about, obviously, shadow IT point solutions. You know, might not abide by the needs of your security teams and the requirement of the specific industry you're in. Okay, one more slide that stresses past versus the future. Again, I'm hopefully preaching to the choir. You know, I give that example of in the past, I would join and to wait for a little while to get the tools I needed to collaborate. And obviously now with Office 365 groups, you know, it's self-service, and I'll talk about how you can control that. You know, the self-service actually is one thing I want to point. Another thing we've seen in the spectrum that has changed in collaboration is this notion of ad hoc team, right? This day and age where things just move faster. You know, my manager tells me on Wednesday to deliver something on Friday. It's a true reality. So teams form on Wednesday and get disbanded on Friday. I'm exaggerating, but hopefully it resonates, right? So it's not just me and my team, and, you know, we're part of the same team, but sometimes you get a pull of a virtual team with different experts, and again, that's when those teams form and disband. So that notion of ad hoc collaboration is something that has really didn't really exist back in the days, but now it's kind of a standard. So self-service is something that Yammer pioneered when we acquire them, and basically we say, you know, every app, whatever you use to collaborate, should have that same thing. Every employee at your company should be able to create a project or a community of interest or whatever they need to get work done. So obviously, a lot of benefits for end users and obviously benefits for IT. This slide reiterates something that I've kind of alluded, but, you know, shame on us. There was a little bit of confusion when we launched groups. Groups, we've launched it 2 years ago. We now have millions of users using it every day, every month. And so, again, think of Office 365 Groups as a membership service, and that's what this diagram shows. Basically, you go into the app of choice you're going to need to collaborate, and I'll talk a little bit about which tool when later. So you go in your app of choice, you create that shared space. What it does in the back end, it creates an object in Azure Active Directory. Obviously, the end user doesn't need to do that, but you as IT, you can have a good night's sleep because you know it's one place and you can track and monitor. So it creates a group in Azure Active Directory with a set of properties. And then for the end user, it wires some of the apps. So every time I create a group in Yammer, I get a team site. Every time I create a Teams in Teams, I get a team site, for instance, et cetera, et cetera. So what are the benefits? Obviously, one identity, and you know, it's very easy for you to step in as IT and see what's going on and do audit log of who created a group, who modified a group, who added members, who deleted members. Obviously, it stitches all those apps, so it's, again, removing a lot of the burden you had to deal with on the on-premises world, which is, hey, I created a team, let's say, in my SharePoint form with those users, and now I want to also have an email, but guess what? My distribution list, my distribution group in IAD maybe wasn't tied to my team side, and if that member left the team or left the company or got transferred, I had to update SharePoint, update my distribution groups, blah, blah, blah. So, again, we're taking care of that across the suite with Office 365 groups. So with that, enough talking, let's go into the first part of the demo, number 8. Okay, so the first set of demos I'll do, I'll go through some of those tools that I was talking about, and I'll start, you know, saying what the sweet spot is for each tool. So obviously the first tool I'll start, in this case, I'll do it in reverse order, is Yammer. Obviously, like I say, we've acquired Yammer over 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and you know, the sweet spot is to connect across the organizations. And in this case, you know, I've got a Yammer group. It's called Executive Update. So in my demo tenant, this is all production. Think again, maybe the leadership team providing an update to either the department or the entire organization. And in this case, I've actually shared a PowerPoint, and you know, I can easily do that in Yammer. And you know, I can just go click on the little cloud icon. What it does in this case is this group, this Yammer group, because it's already mapped to Office 365, it already surfaces all the document that I stored in SharePoint. Again, the end user doesn't need to think about that, but from you, again, you can have a good night's sleep because all the documents are in SharePoint. So you want to apply the, you want to use some of the rigor that SharePoint gives you in terms of enterprise content management. You know, you have it on the back end, and obviously Christoph, as the end user, can just pick this deck. And voila, and I can type I can make an announcement, you get the ID, so I'll post this. So here I can, all the standard capability you would expect with Yammer, integrated with Office 365. So specifically what I want to call your attention is what you're not seeing, for instance, today in your production tenant, but we've got a set of links. And what happens is, pretty soon, we're getting ready to ship this, but every time I create a group in Yammer, for the end user, it's going to look like a regular group in Yammer, but on the back end, it's going to be an Office 365 group. Because it's connected to that Azure Active Directory object, then we're going to have a team sites, planner, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you're seeing here. So that's a Yammer group mapped to Office 365 groups, and I can just go, let's go to the document library, and you'll see that single PowerPoint slide that I was showing you earlier when I was trying to make the announcement, right? So that's a Yammer group tied to Office 365 group. And probably the next question is, prove it to me that it works, that it's not just a demo, Christoph. So we'll just do OZ1, lack of creativity. And I'll just create a group in Yammer. I'm not going to add any members here. And basically, it takes a couple seconds. You know, what it does is Yammer then is talking to Azure Active Directory. You say, I've got a group called OZ1. In this case, I didn't add any members, but if I did, it would start saying, in that, for that group, Office 365 groups, you know, add Angus, add Steve, add whoever I put in. And a couple seconds later, you see this? It was live. Then it comes back. I've provisioned the group. It's provisioned SharePoint, and I get all the stuff wired on day one. So again, from the end user, it's transparent. For you guys in IT, I'll show you the back end and how all those objects surfaces on the back end. So that's Yammer connected to Office 365 groups. Again, I'm not going to spend time on all the innovations we did in Yammer. Shameless plug, Steve and Angus are doing a session tomorrow at 9, 8, something like that, tomorrow morning. So if you want to hear exhaustively all the things that Yammer has delivered or is about to deliver, like be able to mark all the items in my inbox, or to be able to edit posts, stuff like that. They'll talk about that tomorrow. So that's first demo was Yammer for the notion of connecting across the enterprise. The second workload that I want to show is groups in Outlook. So the story there is very simple. Think of that as the evolution of distribution groups. And I'll give you a very clear to action, call to action for me at the end of this session. When you go back to your office, I don't want to see any more distribution being created. I don't want to see any more public folders. Those were great, but those are kind of passé. And typically the first question I get, Christoph, is like, okay, what's the difference between a distribution list group or a distribution list between a groups in Outlook? The number one reason why we get millions of people using this day in, day out is because I get history on context. And in plain English, what does that mean? If Christoph joins my team, he's an intern from uni, he's just going to come for 2 months on my team, I get access to all the conversations, everything that was said, so maybe I'm going to just scroll and ramp up quickly on what has the team been discussed. I get access to all the meetings, the daily stand-up, the monthly sprint planning, the brekkie there and the happy hour there, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the number one reason. With the distribution groups, you don't have the history on context. You know, you join on Wednesday, and you might ask the question that was already asked yesterday and 100 times before because you have no visibility. So groups in Outlook, let me do a quick demo. So again, this one's been around for 2 years, but in this case, I'm on Outlook on the web. And, you know, I can easily start a new discussion. And I say, hello, Australia. I can attach a document. Similar to some of the things that I was showing earlier, pardon me, I can either grab files from my other groups, or in this case, I'm in a group called engineering. Maybe I want to pick a document. I'm not going to send that item as an attachment, right? We're all grown up now. We're in 2017. I'm sending a pointer to a copy stored in SharePoint. I'm not passing around a physical copy. And voila. Guess what? Here, I just did it in Outlook on the web. Like I said, obviously, this is Outlook, so the same richness that you get with your favorite desktop app, you know, in this case, Outlook 2016, it's the same thing. You know, if I go to the engineering, you can see that same message that I sent, right? You know, obviously, typically, a sweet spot, for instance, for email is the ability to be asynchronous. And, you know, I can, well, on my Jetstar from Sydney off to the Gold Coast, I can get caught up on email, and as soon as I get internet again, you know, it will sync. But I've got all the beauty that email provides straight into Outlook 2016. I'll give a couple demo on mobile as well. Other scenario that I want to mention also with groups in Outlook is, again, some of the things you've been using and you were expecting. So one of the things that a lot of customers have been asking us to deliver with groups in Outlook is the notion to support send as or send on behalf. And the use case is very simple. I'm sure this will resonate. You probably have some external email address that users can email, whether it's a support or ask questions. And internally, you get a team that triages those emails. Now, when Christoph triages an email, you don't want to say it's Christoph replying. You just want to say it's Contoso customer support or something for privacy questions. So in this case, I get, for instance, an email in his customer support group. It comes from a Gmail account. I got no idea who this person is. He's got questions about widget. Instead of replying as Christoph, I'm going to reply, please see this. And there's a little box here. I can say show the from. And I'm going to do from customer support and send that. Here I'm doing an Outlook on the web. I could be doing the same thing in Outlook 2016, the desktop app. Here's the view from, let me refresh my little Gmail account, but you'll see that person, that demo Gmail account that I created. Here we go. Anyway, you see you get a reply, and you see that it comes from customer support. The email doesn't show Christoph as the person that sent the email. Okay, so that's that. The other thing I wanted to show you is obviously something we've had since we've launched, the ability to set team meetings, right? Every group's got a shared calendar. And that's a very common use case. You know, I want to set my daily stand-ups. I want to set, you know, when our team is going to meet here on the Gold Coast to debrief maybe by all the sessions so I can easily go into a calendar. And I can create, a happy hour. It's always a good topic. And instead of coming from my personal calendar, you can see here, the drop-down, I can pick, I want to create an event specific to a team. So maybe here, the engineering team. So again, it's going to put that item on that shared calendar, but not just on Christoph's calendar. And then one feature that people have been asking us, you see this little checkbox? Sometimes you might not want to notify everyone that you've created another meeting, so you can check and check. You know, do you want everyone to be notified that happy hour? We probably do. Happy hour is a pretty important event, so I'm not going to check it, but if I keep it, then everyone's going to get a notification in their inbox. And again, it's a good way to make sure that the calendar invite, everyone's notified. So the shared calendar. The other thing that we've delivered in back in November was this notion of this files view. So let me go to another customer support. I think it's the Hello event. And the idea is when we looked at how people collaborate over email, they still send a lot of attachments. And the challenge was, you know, ideally, maybe in the future, a couple of nights from now, all the files would be in SharePoint, but until now, how do we address the fact that within a group inbox, we have regular attachment and we get files stored in SharePoint? And that's what that view tries to tackle. It shows you all the files, whether they're stored in SharePoint, stored in OneDrive, or just share with the team or send as attachment. And that's something we've delivered, again, to give you what kind of and they're sorted chronologically, all the files that are related to this group. So it's a quick, easy way to get back on your feed and find the specific file that your colleague for that project shared. So the files, notebook connectors, we definitely didn't have that when I was at Ignite last, but it's something we've launched a year ago. But think of the ability to bring third-party data, whether it's line of business, into a group inbox, and we also have that, teams also support that. I think we're right around 100 connectors, and it's growing every day. I'm not going to go through the laundry list of all the connectors that are available, but there's a lot of them. So again, think of the ability to bring specific event. You know, we close a deal, we won a deal, main support ticket, or in this case, I think for this particular group, I configured the Twitter connector and the Big News connector. So it's a great way to bring into that shared inbox external activities from Line of Business app. So that's the a quick glimpse on some of the innovations we've delivered with groups in Outlook. I'm missing something. I'll come back later. Let me go to the third one, which is, I know what I missed. Here's the one thing that's been the number one request since we've launched groups 2 years ago, which is, hey, Microsoft, we're in 2017 or 2016. Not everyone's part of my Active Directory. I get Christoph at Gmail, Christoph at Microsoft, Christoph at whatever my favorite supplier. How do I bring that individual into that specific project because he or she is as accountable as all my full-time employees? So guest access is something we've delivered in, we did first release in September, and here's how it works. I go here in my member. I can do that in Outlook. I go here. I'm going to cheat. Grab my demo Gmail account. So I can add any email. So I think there's 2.4 billion emails out there. Any email. Let me stress again. Any email. So whether it's at telstra.au, at Gmail, at Hotmail, at Contoso, doesn't matter if it's consumer or enterprise. Any email. Could be mapped as a guest. So I add that guest, there's a little warning, blah, blah, blah. I hit save, and in a matter of seconds, that external participant gets an invite, and it kicks off a process. So there's a couple things that happen when you do that. You know, you get a little globe that shows that this group has external participants. In this one, I was doing lots of demos, so I added Christoph at Microsoft and some of my colleagues that were doing a presentation recently. Again, let me show you from that Gmail perspective, that person that's not part of Contoso. Is that 152? Was that the one? Anyway, you're going to have to trust me. There's a couple. I'll blame Google on this one. But visit latency. Hello event. That's not the one. Okay, well, we're not going to wait. I did it a couple times, but here's what I would get. I'll get an invite in whatever that my email provider is. Hey, you've been invited to this. And I get all the members of the groups. And, you know, I can obviously reply. You can tell I'm not using Gmail too often. So, you know, I can reply. But here's where the rubber meets the road. As a guest, it's not just limited to going back and forth with the team. I get access to all the documents. And we're not stopping there. We're not just giving that external user access to the document. He or she has access to the entire SharePoint site. So if you create a custom list, if you create it, if you created the share OneNote that comes with the group, I got access to all those pieces of the puzzle. See if I can log in. Now the next, while this is loading, the question typically I get is, does that external guest needs to be licensed? No, it doesn't need to be licensed. Christoph is a Gmail. Okay, looks like Google has detected that my IP is down under, so it's going to give me a hard time. I'm not going to do this, but again, I could log in to that SharePoint team sites and have access to all the documents, demos I've done in the past. I'm co-authoring as a Gmail account the same document that my team has created internally. Now, let me tell you a couple questions I get after I demo this. When will it come to Planner? My colleague Dave Heller just did a session on Planner. We're working on it. It's on the roadmap. Next question is, when will I be able to add external guests in Teams? Same thing. That's an item on the roadmap. So we obviously, like I said, deeply aware that collaboration doesn't sit within the four walls of my Active Directory and that you need to bring those outside participants. Later on, when I talk about administration, I'll talk a little bit about some of the controls that you get as IT and some of the audit logging so you can always stay in charge and see those external guests being part of that. So that's guest access that we've delivered in the fall. You guys are excited about this? Very quiet. Okay, good. Okay, Teams. So, again, I'm just going to show you a glimpse of Teams, but the use case is high-velocity team. So, the reason I'm stressing this is I hear a lot of people saying, you know, hey, we're going to roll Teams to everyone in your organization. No, that's not the good way to think about it. First of all, you should think about the business case first before you push a solution. And again, high-velocity team, when you think about it, not everyone needs that. Sure, if Christoph is a commodity trader in Australia and, you know, he's got a set of screens where I'm doing my trades, da-da-da-da-da, and maybe I've got a second screen where I'm saying, hey, Angus, should I go high and low on coal or whatever, oil? That's high-velocity team, right? Split-second decision. I don't have time to send an email, say, what is my colleague doing on whatever trade desk he is, and no, I want to go back and forth. And probably for that specific role, I also need to retain the digital communication to be compliant in my specific organization. Another example, if I'm a developer and, again, my colleague is, I'm waiting for him or her to check in some code or they broke the bill, you know, I'm like, please check in, please do this, there's an issue. I got to go back and forth. If I'm working on the cover of the local newspaper, and I'm trying to close my daily cover page. That's like, hey, please give me a picture, do the editorial, the thing needs to go to press at 2 a.m. I don't have time to be sending emails. I just want back and forth, you know, we're iterating very quickly on the deliverable. So again, think of those as like the sweet spot for teams. Another way to think about it is think of it as like, you know, a hub, you know, a big open space where people go back and forth. Now again, I'm stressing this because there's probably a lot of people at your organization that doesn't fit their need and they want maybe a little more synchronous, maybe a little more formality, and they can live with milliseconds for an email to be delivered. So here's Teams. Again, we're going to be launching it very soon. Again, Alistair demoed it this morning, so here I've got a couple in my demo environment. Teams, the taxonomy for conversation, because as you can imagine, it can get very chatty. But a way to potentially isolate conversation is with this notion of channel. And that's what you're seeing here. When you create a team, by default, it has a general channel. But you can start being a little more granular here. Someone did a hack day, and maybe I've got a channel general, but I've got a channel just for the judges to look at the hack day, and one for about all the catering called logistics and stuff like that. Now, there's a couple options today when you can create teams. Again, you know, I wasn't planning, but, you know, it's a short form. I can @mention people. I can use emojis. I can do videos and stuff like that. I can create my own meme, blah, blah, blah. Now, the couple things I want to show you. So when you create a team, it creates an Office 365 groups. There's also another option here in the UI. So we'll go Office 2, where, you know, I've got classification, but I can also add teams to an existing group. Again, some of you might have been, I've started rolling out groups, and great. But potentially for that team, whatever project, maybe I want to switch to something a little more rapid fire that Teams provides. So I get this option in the UI. You got to go to the bottom and say, yes, add it to an existing. Today in preview, the list of groups that already exist, you've got to be a owner of a group and the group needs to be private. So if you're not seeing any group when you're testing this, either in your production or test tenant, that means you're either not an owner and the group needs to be private. That's something we're looking at loosening or relaxing those requirements as we get at GA and beyond. So for instance here, the executive corner, maybe we'll do Ignite. That's I need the rapid fire so I can figure out what the party is today, where we should go for drinks. So I can add Ignite, choose that team. And in seconds, again, the group already exists. It probably has an inbox, it already has a SharePoint, it already has a planner. But it's wiring that app. Remember I had a slide earlier that says it's loose coupling. So it's bringing that team experience to something that already existed. So this is adding teams to an existing group. The other question I get, you know, I've talked to some of the customers earlier, is, okay, this is so new. How do I get additional information to drive usage and adoptions? And as usual, I'll talk about it later. We'll have plenty of scenarios in our productivity library in Fast Track. So again, helping you how potentially this could be used with folks in, inside my organization. So that's Teams. The next thing I want to show you is, pardon me, again, let me repeat, every group today in your environment has access to a full team site. And one thing that is in first release right now is not only every group's got a full team site, but every new team site by default will be mapped to a group. So my demo tenant here, I'm just going to go create team site. I'll do OS 2. I guess I didn't use OS 2 earlier. So a couple of things I'll talk later. It's got privacy settings and data classifications. I can add, you know, let me add my colleague Amit as a co-owner. And it's thinking. And voila, finish. So again, what it does is exactly what I was showing you earlier. For instance, with the Yammer demo, this time it's talking to our Azure Active Directory. SharePoint is not going to be the master for the membership. It's an Active Directory. Obviously, it's going to be represented in SharePoint. But here's a SharePoint team site mapped to groups. How can I tell? You know, so this is a modern team site, and there's a lot of content about that. But if I click here, it's going to take me today to the inbox that comes with the group. So that's a team site mapped to a group. Again, this one is in first release, and pretty soon we're going to start expanding the deployment to different rings of worldwide deployment. That wraps up the end-user demo for groups, and let's go into the next session, which is all about administration. And before we do that, here's a slide that recaps. Again, I know I'm repeating myself, but again, typically it's the number one ask, which tool when. So here's another cheat sheet. Think of groups in Outlook, you know, email and calendar for all the ubiquity and ease of use that Outlook gives you. Yammer, sweet spot to connect across the enterprise, community of interest, executive talking to their employees, or whatever it is. that potentially you're using Yammer today, Teams for that high-velocity chat-based workspace, and obviously the others I'm going to skip. The case study we did here with Mark and Spencer, something I haven't said is, again, we don't think it's one or the other or et cetera, et cetera. You know, I was meeting with a customer earlier, and maybe you're going to start with Teams because you're a set of developers or you just want to try it out. There's still that moment in time when someone joins the company or joins your team or that time of the year when you're working on budget that you might be doing an email. Why? Because maybe you want the picture of the new hire or you want to go long form. Here's the work back on how we're going to do our 2018 budgeting. So for that point communication, you might still do a good old-fashioned email. To welcome the new employee, again, you're going to put a picture of that person with, hey, tell me about what floats your boat and what you like to do in life. You might use long form, not just for the team, but potentially that email is going to go to HR or other folks, right? You want to disseminate that information. So don't think of those tools as exclusive. And that's the case study with Mark and Spencer. You know, they're using, obviously, a Yammer for their all the stores. You know, it's a retailer in the UK. All the folks working in the stores are using Yammer to provide feedback, what's working and what can be improved. But at Mark and Spencer, if you're a store manager and you're responsible for a physical brick and mortar store, you need the rigor of email, of the supply chain, the hiring, so that, you know, when Christoph, let's say, is the daytime manager from 9 to 5, when someone else comes from 5 to 11 p.m., whenever the store closes, that colleague, they can track all the invoices and all the things that a store does day in, day out to operate. So in their case, they're using, for instance, Groups and Outlook for the store owners to keep track of what's going on. Okay, this slide is specific to Groups in Outlook. Again, there's different slides and different sessions that go talk about Teams, or like I said, tomorrow there'll be a session on Yammer Roadmap. This is all the things we've delivered. I've demoed a few, and this is what's coming. So as everything with our roadmap, it's on fast track. One thing that is coming very soon is the support for Mac, Outlook for Mac. I don't know if some of you have MacBook, but that's something we didn't support. And very soon, you'll be able to, whoever has MacBook, they'll be able to have the immersive experience that comes with PC. There's a bunch of other things that we're doing. If you got any questions, definitely ping me either after or via Twitter, and I can give you more color if you get additional questions. Again, this is just for the innovation for the end user. I do have a slide later about IT innovation. Okay, administration. So the first question typically you guys have is, okay, I get self-service, I need to be agile, or I need to support this notion of ad hoc teams, but how do I manage groups at scale? And we've done a number of things. You know, again, Office 365 groups have been around for 2 years, and we get a ton of feedback from maybe some of you in the room or customers worldwide, and this is just a recap of all the things we've delivered. And let me talk at a high level some of the things that help you manage group at scale. So like I said, by nature, groups are self-service. And an end user can create a group, promote someone as a co-owner, remove members, or delete a group if they're no longer needed. So again, taking that burden from your shoulder and giving that to the end user so you're not in the way of managing who's in and out of groups. Now, as administrators, which is the box in the bottom left, as a tenant admin, you can always go in and step in. Again, a typical use case is, let's pretend Christoph got fired because he did something bad, and guess what? I didn't have a co-owner, so you need to step in and maybe promote Christoph's manager so he or she can step in and figure out what Christoph was working on and maybe salvage some valuable assets. Yes, we support PowerShell commandlets, so for those of you that are that of PowerShell, you can script and automate some of those tasks that you might have to manage the circadian rhythm of groups. The other thing that are available today is, you know, you can set naming policy. The only catch is the naming policy only applies to Outlook endpoints. So either the mobile app, Outlook on the web, or Outlook desktop. That means, okay, you can set a prefix suffix, but if Christoph created planner or Teams, those doesn't apply to those other workloads because the group is not created through the Outlook plans. So I'll talk about later where we're expanding that, where we're taking naming policies and we're bringing it to Azure Active Directory so that it applies to all the endpoints. Dynamic membership, I'll show you a quick glimpse in the demo, but that's something we've delivered a year ago. So think of this time, not just a little project team with 12 people, but a team with thousands or hundreds of employees, like all up engineering team, or all the employee in the Brisbane office, or all the employee that are marketeers. And for that, you don't want to put the onus on the administrative assistant to figure out who's in and who's out, right? If you get 10 people, that's easy, but if you get hundreds or thousands, impossible. So dynamic membership is nothing more than it queries Active Directory and based on a set of properties, and in real time, the group membership fluctuates ups and down. So again, think of maybe OLAP department or executives group-based. Hidden membership, that's something that we've been asked from our EDU customers, whether it's K first to 12 or higher ed, which is, hey, if Christoph is part of, a special need class, then my student peers shouldn't see that Christoph has disability, because obviously, at least in the U.S., it's against the law, and I could get in trouble because potentially I could bully Christoph. Group permission, creation permission, yes, you can disable who gets to create group. Yes, you can say only folks in IT or only folks as part of the first-year support can create groups. You can absolutely do that, and you can map it to a security group. Now, and it's documented. I put the link here in the slides. But again, I want you to think really hard. It's very easy to turn it off. Yes, I know that. You're in IT. You're the gatekeeper. But the world has changed. A lot of organizations as IT now, you're the groundskeeper, and your business unit's going to say, I want this app to run my business. Here's the bill. So again, yes, you can turn it off, but if you turn it off or make it too hard for Christoph to request a book, a group, he's going to fill in a huge form and have a PhD and figure out the chargeback account, blah, 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 then you know what Christoph is going to do, right? Christoph is not patient. Christoph will get a green app or a blue app on his phone, and he'll create a group. Suddenly you get WhatsApp, Facebook, and you get things floating into the wall. Sure, you might be sleeping well at night, but your security or your compliance officer, hopefully they're not sleeping well, because there's crazy things out there in the wild well that potentially your competitor can get hold or that could hurt your company. So think hard before you turn off group creation permission. And then the other argument to close that discussion is, because if you turn off creation permission, you're pretty much, you know, to be extreme, you stop, you disable collaboration in 365. That means you create a team site, it's not going to be a team site mapped to groups. That means you go in Yammer, you create a group, it's not going to be a Yammer group tied to Office 365, it's going to be the legacy Yammer group. You won't be able to create teams. So by turning this off, you're impacting all the apps that I already demoed earlier. So really think twice. Okay, high external guesswork. There's two links. Again, you get access to the slides that go into a lot more detail. But again, I want to stress, there's 2.4 or something billion emails out there, whether it's consumer or enterprise, you can bring any of those as guests. I'll show you a little bit of that, but that guest, that Gmail account, for instance, that I use in my demo, physically it's in Azure Active Directory. You can see that guest. You can audit on it. And know that guest doesn't need to be licensed. And the next question you're asking, especially with a Gmail account, because it's not a Microsoft account, how did we figure out that Gmail account to give that person credentials so he can log into SharePoint? So we do that very quickly on the back end. Again, to Christoph, I keep continuing using my Gmail. I don't have to worry about having a Microsoft account, even though on the back end we map that Gmail account to a Microsoft account. So a lot more explanation in those documentation, but that's how guest access works. Again, yes, you can turn off guest access, and yes, you can control group by group. Who gets the ability to add guests. Next question is, how do I keep my group safe and ensure that groups are being used the right way? Here's some of the things we've done to tackle that. So data classification is something we've delivered in summer of last year, so about 6 months ago. So the ability, you know, at Microsoft, we have a three-tier, low, medium, high. I don't know about your organization. Some people have five-tier classification. But again, it puts a little bit of bounds on checks. Maybe, you know, if it's a high classification in Microsoft, typically means it might have customer data, financial data, or just sensitive data in general. By nature, within Microsoft IT, the policy, if a group is high, it needs to be private. I don't want all the 100,000 Microsoft employees to lurk and figure out what's going on. No, high classification means it needs to be private. I'll just an example. The other one is usage guidelines. You know, that's something, for instance, Yammer had for many years. It reminds Christoph as an employee, you know, this is the context here of Microsoft or Contoso, and it's not a free-for-all. If Christoph puts images of his colleagues in bathing suits to stay polite, whatever, that could be an HR human resource violation, right? So again, that's a good way to remind Christoph some of those policies that I'm sure you'll have, and you remind day in, day out, all the employees, either existing long-time employees or new hires, here's how you can use those technology and what you should do and not do. In place of all on discovery, again, typically for those of you at an engineering firm or legal firm or financial sectors, but in, if you have a case, because today the conversations, the calendar, and the documents is nothing more than Exchange Online and SharePoint Online, yes, you get all the rigor that you can apply if you are part of the... if you need to use in place role. Next thing that people ask, how do I get insights of what's going on? And there's a number of reports. I'll go very fast because I'll demo some of these. And actually, that's perfect tee up to next set of demos. Okay. So, first thing I want to show you is... let me go to the admin portal in Office 365. Looks like slow. So you'll see that Groups is has got Prime Real Estate right there on the portal. I get my user tab right there. I've got Groups. So I can see all the groups that are created day in, day out within my tenant. For instance, here's the two OAS, OAS1 and OAS2 that we created either from Yammer or from SharePoint. I can see, oh, here's the Yammer group. I don't think I put any colleagues, so it's just myself, pretty boring, but I think for OAS2, for the one that I created, I'd admit. Yeah, here we go. So again, I can step in and I can change things in case, you know, someone left or I just need to add someone else. So that's how you can manage through the user interface. You can also use the admin app on your favorite mobile device, or like I said, you can use the PowerShell commandlet if you want to automate some of that. Let me show you. I'm just cheating there. Just make sure I'm not forgetting anything. So a couple of reports that are available today. So we do have usage report. So we've delivered a bunch of usage report back in the fall. And again, you go to reports here, usage. And let's pick the group's activity report. And what this report does is show you, in this case, today, just the email activity of the group. Now, we're looking at expanding that, and because, obviously, groups is a lot more than just a shared inbox, but obviously, there's teams and stuff like that. So we're looking at providing a lot more value. But again, for you as IT, it's a quick way to see what groups are active. And maybe I should reach out to that team and figure out what's working so that maybe I can take that as a success story to drive usage in the other pocket of the organization. So that's one way to track what's going on and some of the storage quota. Again, this is a demo tenant, so I don't have a lot of data, so it's not super exciting. The one I want to call out that I hear quite often is the SharePoint site usage report. So I hear from a lot of the SharePoint administrators, hey, self-service, great, but every group gets a site collection. Yes. And how do I track storage? So you go to the SharePoint site usage, and here I'm going to filter just a group site. So here, what it's listing is all the groups, all the SharePoint team sites that got created as part of groups. And I can see how many files used, storage, et cetera, et cetera. So you do have insights of how much is consumed SharePoint-wise for all the groups. The next question I get is, how can I set quotas? Today, you can only set quotas through PowerShell commandlet. But yes, we have a roadmap where we're going to give you the ability to manage quota directly in the SharePoint Admin Center. So again, one myth I want to debunk is you do have insights of how much storage is consumed by all those SharePoint team sites created as part of groups. The next thing I want to show you is we're going to switch gear a little bit to Azure. So again, this is not an Azure session, but here's the Azure portal. For those of you that maybe are managing Azure. So here I go to user and groups. And there's a couple of things I'll show you. So again, here, it's the same demo tenant. So it's the same set of groups that I was showing you earlier, just a different, you know, it's got the Azure flavor to different UI, but it's the same objects. Again, the master is in Azure Directory. It's not in Office 365. So here's the two OZ groups that we created earlier. A couple of things I want to call out. So I was in the engineering group earlier. This one is actually a group where we enable dynamic membership. So it's as simple as here. I got dynamic membership. You can see it here. It also says here in the UI. In this case, I was not terribly creative. I used one of our standard content pack, but I create a rule that says all the employees that are in the US, and that's what drives the membership for that specific group. Now, you can be fancy and use Boolean on advanced rules. So you can set those to the UI since November with a preview of the new PowerShell commandlet. You can also set those dynamic membership to PowerShell commandlet. So that's one thing. The next thing I want to show you, again, in Azure, remember I was telling you we've got guests, and guests are mapped as objects in Active Directory. So here, all the users from my demo tenant. Hopefully, you'll see that Gmail account I was using earlier. Here we go. You see that object that's right there, map in Azure Active Directory. And yes, you can have an audit log of every time when Christoph logged in, when Christoph redeemed that token, when you invited him, et cetera, et cetera. So again, I want to be very clear. You have access to all that data at any point in time. The other thing I get asked is, oh, okay, great. Pardon me. How do I see what's going on day in that in terms of groups activities? And to do that, you go to the Security and Compliance Center in Office 365, and you can also do that in Azure. And you set a here search. Audit log search. Again, I'm not giving a full tutorial on Azure Active Directory, but here is a thing. If I don't go too fast, you can filter to all the groups related activities. And here we go. Those five activities. And then just say search. And it's going to surface every time Christoph, or every time someone created a group, every once someone deleted a group, every once someone modified, added or removed member of the groups, and stuff like that. And for every one of those activities, I can drill in, and I can say, oh, you know, someone created a group, I can expand, and so forth. And yes, you can pipe this to your favorite data store. You know, in 365, we'll retain 90 days, but you want to keep that in a nice, secure store, so you can always report, what did Christoph create? 10 marketing group. And you can then go meet Christoph and ask him that hard question. So you do have outlet logging on all those circadian activities around group creation, group modifications, or group deletion. And yes, this will apply to Teams. Yes, this will apply to Yammer. A central way to manage and see what's going on with group activities. Okay, just moving on. I'm seeing the log tick. The other thing that I wanted to show you is something, again, that we haven't delivered yet, but it's coming very soon. This quarter is the ability to set retention and deletion policy. And this is, again, this is not something you're seeing today in your tenant. I am seeing it in my special demo tenant, but I went to data governance retention, so this is a new capability that we're going to be delivering soon. And you can set a rule, either a deletion or a retention policy, so let me show you one. So here I can edit this policy, you create a name, but what's interesting is location. The policy can apply to an Office 365 group. You see this? And I can either apply that same policy to all the groups, or in that specific demo tenant, I applied a deletion policy to one specific groups. And in this case, I get a couple options. I can retain things forever, that's if it's a retention, or I can apply a deletion. In this case, for that group, I want to delete all the emails that are older than 5 days. Again, hopefully that gives you some ideas, either for regulatory or just want to clean up emails and the documents in SharePoint. So that applies to an entire group and all of the assets that are mapped to that group. So again, that's this notion that we continue to invest in terms of governance, and that leads me into what's coming next in terms of security and compliance. A couple of things that we're going to deliver in the next couple of weeks. Deletion recovery, so today that's a challenge with groups. If Christoph deletes a group, not only is it going to delete the objects in the Azure Active Directory, but it's going to delete the SharePoint, delete the inbox, delete the calendar, delete the planner, blah, blah, blah. And very easy, But how about if Christoph was a little too quick and he forgot that he had his colleague's deck or a PowerPoint or a spreadsheet, and I need to salvage that. I need to salvage an important email. I need to salvage the OneNote. So basically what we're going to give you is we're going to set a time frame, and you've got 30 days to restore all the content of the group. So again, it gives you a little bit of the recycle bin that you get in SharePoint. It gives you, you know, it's not hard delete yet, so you can recover things. The next item on the roadmap that we're going to be delivering in the next couple of weeks is expiring groups. Yes, self-service is great, but maybe after 90 days, you want to send an email to Angus, say, Angus, Ignite on the Gold Coast 2017. It looks like you created a group to chit-chat about Ignite. No one's using it anymore. Should we delete that group? So that provides an automated way to delete those groups. Basically, what's going to happen physically is Angus is going to get an email. If he doesn't reply, the group goes in soft delete for 30 days, hard delete after 60 days. So again, automated way to start grooming that beautiful Japanese garden that you guys manage day in, day out. Preservation deletion policy I've talked about. Default classification, again, it'll be able to say, hey, all my groups, I want it to be medium or whatever the classification that you have. And then naming policy I already talked about. Where we're already at that apply to Exchange, we're going to up-level it to Azure Active Directory so that all the workloads that come with a group will have the same naming policy and no one can game the system. So that's a... And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. This is the key items that typical people ask. There's more stuff on the Office 365 roadmap. Now, speeding up a little bit, how do I extend my groups? Or how do I connect groups with line of business app or do some automation? Guess what? Since November 2015, we've got a set of REST API. If I'm speaking a foreign language, you know, give this slide to your favorite developer and they'll know what to do. But a set of API where you can do some automations, query, whatever you want to do. You know, I mentioned we have 100 connectors to bring either stuff in Teams or stuff in the shared inbox. Guess what? It's just a webhook. If you want to create a connector with your favorite in-house app, it's actually super easy to do, and there's a framework for that. Very quickly, the last part is, okay, we've talked about why and what is groups and et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about administration. This last part is how do I get started? And the first thing I want to show very quickly, that might be my last demo very quickly, is again, I told you that I don't want any of you to start creating DLs anymore, and I want you to start actually graduating distribution lists to groups. One thing we've delivered last summer is here in my demo tenant, I went to these Exchange admin centers, and you've got a bunch of distribution lists, and here I can click on the sales, and with one click, here I can convert that distribution groups to groups. So this is just through the UI. You can do that by using PowerShell commandlet. So very easy way to graduate those teams to 2017 and get all the group love that I'm sure they're dying to get to collaborate. Okay. The slide has a couple other pointers. Do we support on-premises mailbox? Yes, there's documentation on that. So if Christoph, you know, hasn't been migrated to the cloud, you're still running Exchange, we support that. And I want to be transparent. Groups is cloud first. When you configure hybrid for on-premises mailbox, you know, it's a little bit of a degraded experience for Christoph as the end users. It almost looks like a DL. You know, everything comes to my inbox. It doesn't have some of the immersive experience. So you can definitely support it. We support it, but don't expect the full immersive experience that you get when your mailbox is in the cloud. And I put a couple other links. You know, how about if you've got public folders? We have a bunch of third party to help you with that. And if you get any other questions, just send me an email. I already did a plugin in the cloud with Office 365. There's only one thing you need to remember is fast track, either to help you onboard to the cloud or get use cases, and that's why we got the productivity library. Some of those links, for instance, you know, it's got videos and stuff like that. There's content for all the workload. Like I say, when we launch Teams, we're going to add a bunch of things specific to Teams. This one's got a link to Groups and Outlook. So again, great thing for you to empower your users to say, how do I create a shared meeting? How do I send cloud attachment and so forth? So definitely I encourage all of you to leverage because it's free. And again, it's all about driving value and reducing exposure to shadow IT. With that, you know, like I said, it's a pretty broad topic. The other question that I get is, Christoph, are you guys continue to invest? And absolutely. And think of it as like two dimension we're investing in. One dimension is we keep making each app awesome. You know, I give you some demos on how we continue to modernize email or modernize SharePoint or modernize Yammer. So that's kind of like all the, think of the experiences roadmap. Again, I didn't list all the things. You can go to Fast Track, and there's a gazillion things if you want to go deep on each one of the innovation we're doing for all those workloads. And then the other dimension that we're innovating in, which I give you a glimpse, is around making you the hero, whether you're administering, governing, or whatever you're doing with groups. And again, we're doing investments on the service, as well as individual investments in SharePoint, in Yammer, in Teams, and stuff like that. So again, I didn't start listing everything that's on Fast Track, but I want you to think that we're keep innovating on each of the experiences and across the experiences. We keep innovating on the service that ties all those experiences, as well as governance for each of the workload. And I put a couple links so you guys can stay up to date and see what's cooking in the Redmond kitchen. Okay. Shameless plugging to a couple sessions. So I know we're Wednesday, but there's two important sessions that are happening tomorrow. If you missed, you know, there's three that already happened today. All the recordings will be on Channel 9 as well as the slides. So definitely a good thing to pass to your colleague that couldn't make it to Ignite this week. Or if you missed a session, tomorrow two group sessions. One, again, the Yammer roadmap session first thing in the morning. And then Elaine, who's an MVP, is going to talk a little deeper into our administration. She's also going to be showing you some of the extensibility. So think of it as a double click to some of the glimpse that I provided. With that, couple takeaways before we open up for Q&A. So again, I want you to start using distribution lists. If you're in the cloud, start converting them. Like I showed you, super easy. The next thing is obviously drive usage. I want you to start making good use of what you paid us for. And whatever it is, whatever is the use case, please, please, please leverage Fast Track. And if there's things missing, let us know. And the last, I do mean it. You know, we've been through this transformation as a company, and engineering, marketing, doesn't matter. We're moving a lot faster than we used to, in case you haven't noticed. Or trust me that we are moving a lot faster, or we had the aspiration to move a lot faster. And to move faster, we need feedback. You need to tell us, hey, Christoph, I give you an F. You messed up on this. Or this I love, but this not so much. Or this, tweak this. Or this, I hate. So definitely give us feedback. We got a gazillion channel to give feedback. We got user voice. We got a technical community. And like I said, a lot of us are here this week. And there's also my contact info. So definitely keep us honest of what's working and what potentially can be improved. And with that, thank you very much for your time. I'll hang around for questions and enjoy the rest of the conference.